For I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you might be strengthened. Father, I just want to stand here and thank you for this house. I thank you for these children that you have here, Father, the ones that you love, the ones that you've called by name, the ones that you died for. Father, I thank you that you are more in their lives that they can even see possible at this point. But Father, cause me to begin to impart a gift, Father, into their lives, Father, something that they've never seen. Cause my tongue to be the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I thank you for your power in this place. I thank you that we are connected by one thing, and that's you and your spirit. Father, we are in common union. They are my communion, and I commune with them tonight. Father, even though the north and the south and the east and the west, and there's spaces and situations wherever we are, Father, I thank you that we are one, that Father, we share a common identity, Father. And I thank you, Father, as I minister to them and they minister to me, Father, we're all going to be strengthened in this thing called the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you for their gifts. I thank you for their ability, Father. I thank you for the hearing ear and the seeing eye. Now, Lord, I stand upon the high mountain of the kingdom, and I declare unto this place, be ye saved, be ye reconciled, and be one with the Father. And everybody said, amen. Oh my gosh, it's true. I'm so glad to be back. Corey, Jen, whatever you're thinking about who I am, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because there was a time in my life that I said, I can't do that. I was back row balcony. He was front row center. Guess where we ended up? So whatever you're thinking about me and who I am and where I've come from, you're wrong. I was you. And then suddenlies began to happen in my life. And I feel like God is going to be pouring out suddenlies in our life. And you begin to expect it, because I'm not here to teach you with head wisdom necessarily. We have teachers, and you have great teachers, but I have to come in a different side of the kingdom of God, an impartation into you, something that bypasses what we think, bypasses what we thought, bypasses our nationality, bypasses who we are in the natural, bypasses our financial ability. It bypasses all of that, and it comes in, and it's something from heaven gets Wi-Fi'd into our life. And you become something that you never thought you would be able to be. And I stand here as a witness. I witness. No, I'm not going to do that. And I can do that. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Sometimes when we're in meetings, and we don't know why the kingdom really isn't manifesting the way it should be in our lives, it's because we're the common denominator. We're the link. And the scripture says all the promises of God are yes. You have to add your amen, exactly what it says. So there's something in our life that, now we've been to countries that if they amen, they throw money. That was awkward. Anyway, literally, they call it the floor of exchange. And they say, if they say their amen is, if you say something they want to be a part of it, they throw money at you. So it's a great exchange. So if they throw money, they get that anointing. That's not how it works. If you want to throw money, that's not how this kingdom works. Okay, so if someone's really liked, they get lots of money. If someone comes up there speaking truth, yet they're not really liked, they don't get very much money. So it's this judgmental thing that happens in our life. But that's not the way the kingdom works. This is the great exchange for all of us. There's been a great exchange for your life. And I can't even tell you how honored I am to stand in front of you here to begin to share some of the things that God has done for me. Because it suddenly happened in my life. And some of you know that. And I believe that God's going to come into your life with suddenlies. And everyone said, yes, because that's the exchange. That's how you receive something that's Wi-Fi'd down. We open our mouth and we begin to declare, that is going to happen to me. And when suddenlies come in your life, you don't have to try. You don't have to try to have faith. When God climbed in the car with Chris and said, from this day forward, you work for me, and his voice came, he didn't have to try to figure it out. You're not going to try to figure it out. It's going to be a suddenly in your life, and he's going to manifest himself in you. Like, I know I've told the story, and I'll tell it a million more times, but I was sitting the morning my father was passing away, the hospital called with my coffee, just exchanging with God, just praying, and Lord, this is a day I've regretted, you know, same thing. And it was like a matrix moment, and something plugged in, and a play downloaded. It downloaded from heaven. I said, I think my father had passed, came and sat next to me. I saw the whole thing. I saw what everybody was supposed to say. I rewrote all the Christmas carols. I sat there in tears and laughing, trying to write. I've never written a play. I've never rewritten songs. But it suddenly happened in my life. And when it happens, I didn't have to think. I didn't have to try. There it was, and I saw it from heaven. I went into the church, and I need curtains on the sanctuary stage. So I started looking up curtains, and I was going to buy the curtains. And Chris was like, no, we're going to buy the curtains. So we got curtains on the stage. And a young woman in the church, she said, Marge, I work at the school in the drama department. I love doing stage sets. So she came alongside. She was a friend of mine, and she knew what to do with lighting. I had no idea, but all of a sudden there she was, offering her time. She set up lighting in the back. She made stage sets. I had no clue what I was doing. I have never done it before, but it was all provided for because a suddenly happened in my life, and a suddenly is going to happen in your life because that's what fathers do. Because those who love him, they will never be denied. And you are just going to add your amen to it. Just going to 2 Corinthians 11. I'll start at 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And I said, it had to work for me. If it didn't work for me, it didn't work. It didn't work in my life. It didn't work. But it had to be simple. So let's go head back over. Let's go to Genesis. Let's see how he deceived her from simplicity. Genesis 3. Now, whatever you're thinking about who I am, what I was, where I came from, you're wrong. I was little Margie McCabe, a C student at the best. Shy, couldn't speak in front of people. I remember even after we were married, I didn't answer the phone unless he was home because I wouldn't talk on the phone. People would come to the door and I would hide in another room so I didn't have to answer the door. It was shy. It was terrified to stand up and begin to talk in front of somebody. And then the first thing I had to do when he was called into ministry, I had to lead worship. Because I was the only one that I played the guitar. I knew 3 chords, G, C, and D. Back then, you could play any Christian song you wanted with G, C, and D. Did have to learn B minor to throw that in. So I said the first 10 years, I learned guitar. He studied the scriptures. But I stood up there, hives, crying, sweating. I would put the guitar down. I'd go to the bathroom and I'd cry. I'd say, Lord, there are people that want to do this. There are people that are good at it. I'm not even that good at it. And there was no answer ever. And I just went because there was a need. Whatever we put our hand to is going to be blessed. And people say today, Mark, where did you guys get that worship team? I prayed for them for 15 years. I prayed, Lord, they're people. And then finally I got to the point and said, Lord, if they're not going to come, give me the gift. Teach me supernaturally how to do this. I'll do it for you. I'll do it even though I'm afraid. Do it afraid, the great statement. So I did. Every week, did it afraid. Studied all week long. Practiced the guitar. Sang my kids to sleep at night on the guitar. That's how I practiced. Put my 3 little girls to bed, and I'd start to play the guitar to practice, and I'd sing them to sleep. Well, guess who's leading worship now? Anyway, it's for another day. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said that you shall eat of every fruit of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. That was extra, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. God knows in that day you eat, your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to be like God. When God had already said, I made you in my image. Okay. You ready? Now, the play I'm doing for Christmas is the miracle of Christmas. I'm writing testimonies in the church of miracles that happened during Christmas time. And this is the opening monologue. Opens on this little cute little blonde. Now there were shepherds keeping watch in the night when glory appeared in such brilliant light. Heavenly splendor before them displayed. They fell to their knees helpless, afraid. The light of perfection, uncontaminated fire. Sinful men such as they wondered what was required. Struggling in sin, in anguish, in doubt, until this great being opened his mouth. I come bearing news from the said promised land. Your cries have been heard, your deliverance is at hand. Seek for the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, in a trough, in some hay. This way God has chose. Although he's the king, his royalty is unknown, but he's here to take you from the manger to the throne. Then without warning, in a blink, they emerged, a symphony of angels singing songs never heard, singing dignity, honor to him who's supreme. The shepherds gazed and wondered what all this could mean. Then peace encompassed their celestial serenade. Not anything earthly would be worthy of trade. The Almighty has declared there will be nothing less than good blessing, great joy, and serene peacefulness. Our souls filled with hope, joy descended on wings. This is what happens when we hear angels sing. And plays begin to download, and I'm here to impart something to you, that something from heaven, that little Margie McCabe that married a Scorenzi couldn't possibly do. And a suddenly came in my life. And I can't even tell you the joy I get sitting and writing and performing and laying awake all night. And but something happens in the kingdom of God because we love him. And he's not going to leave this town barren without his kids adding something that's going to change lives out there. We're not sitting here for us. That would be weird. I don't come to church for me. I said, if everybody had to minister next week, they'd be taking notes. Do you know why ministers are up here taking notes? You know why? Because they got to minister. And then something happens when we get in the Word and we begin to write it down, and I get my notebooks out. Okay, somebody who wasn't me decided that I was going to minister at a women's conference in Manning. But anyway. God brought her here. I thought Corey brought me here. I'm kidding. It's true. We love you guys so much. It's so much fun. It's actually too much fun. It actually is. But then when I heard those words, and I started writing out that opening monologue for my play, and I heard that he's here to take us from the manger to the throne, and it wasn't Christ, it was us. And I tell you right now, he's going to do it. I saw it. And the thing that we lack is the amen. Let it be, Father, in my life according to your word. Like Mary said, Mary added something when the angel came. She had to add something. You're going to be, oh, she ever died, the Holy Spirit, and that thing that's going to be born in you is going to be the Son of God. What? And you know, Mary was just crazy enough to say, be it unto me according to your word. But a lot of times we don't sit in our kitchen. We go back home and we find ourselves back in the rut, back in doing the same thing. And And then one morning you're up and you're in the living room with coffee at 3 a.m. and your dad's passing away. And you begin to pray and you begin to ask God to give you strength through the season, as suddenly happens. Something different changes in your life. You become somebody. Everything that was in you, everything that's in you changes, and life begins to happen. And that thing that's born in you is Christ. It's the same thing. The Spirit of God is going to overshadow you and going to birth something in you, and it's going to be the Christ. I can't, you know, ask him. How many songs do I have at this point? I don't know. I don't know. I can't stop. I can't stop. Anyway, but I would, just as a serpent deceived Eve from its simplicity, that it's not by our great learning. It's part of it. We need to learn. We need teachers in the body. That's one of the anointings. But it's not it. It comes from the knowledge is the doorway into a different realm that causes a Wi-Fi to come into our life that we know things we hadn't known. Then the prophet comes in and he pulls you out and he begins to tell you all about your life. Something he doesn't know because he's been Wi-Fi'd in. And God wants to Wi-Fi himself into your life and make you everything that you knew you were. I said, you know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. But he's revealed something to you in your spirit that you know about yourself. So a lot of times I'll pray with women, they'll ask me to pray who can't, they can't have children. And I said, so I give them that scripture, and I'll say, what's their names? I said, you've already named them. There's already something in you that God has revealed to you by your spirit, and that's those children. And I've told him for years, I feel wealth inside me. There's wealth. I give everything away. I just give it away. I don't know. How many living room sets have I given away? He remembers. He'd come home, there'd be no living room set. They needed it. But there's something in you that you know about yourself, and you can't deny that witness. Don't deny that witness. And then when the suddenly comes, it will all make sense. Something in our lives that never made sense before, and it makes sense. And he had to do it. He had to make it simple. He had to make sure it was good news. It was great joy. Come to you with good news and great joy. Well, this is good news and great joy. It didn't seem like good news and great joy. I was still in that cul-de-sac of trying to please him, trying to make it okay. Am I doing everything right? I'm less than everybody else. I'm not good enough. And all those same things that go through our mind all the time, spinning around in my soul all the time. Even when suddenly's coming, we still fight those things in our life. But it's good news of great joy. For unto you has been born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the King. Unto you, not just them. Unto you is born something different. Something that's going to take us from the natural. Something that's going to cause Paul to say, don't you know that you're not mere men? That you have an option in this life? You have an option when you go home into your house and things need fixing and you're wondering where you're going to get the money and you're going to wonder how you're going to get the workers but my knees hurt and, you know, all that stuff. But you have an option. You have an option to walk into a kingdom and begin to declare things. No, I see this house done. House, I call you done. Let there be. Let there be in my house. And something inside of you wakes up and the Spirit of God begins to speak through you. And the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the waters, patiently waiting for it to hear his desire. And then God speaks. But then you speak. He wants you to take part in this life. Take part. Be crazy. Buy curtains. So, okay, this is what we did in one of the plays. Because we have to empty the stage off. We bought curtains, put them up. And then we decided we're going to have a dinner theater. So we got rid of all the chairs. We put tables up and put the chairs behind it. We had them, someone come in, and they bought dinner, came in, sat at the tables, and we did a play. My last play, 320 people came. Every seat, even in the balcony, was full because the community heard something. They needed something. They, you know, and that's what's going to happen in your life. You're just like, well, what part do I play? I don't have a part in this. You can't say that because I said that. He was the guy. You know what I mean? And it was okay with me. I would honor the word in him because God came to him and gave him the word and said what was going to happen. And I honored the word in him and I served the word and I did what I could that the word of God could do something for whatever God had called him for. Until I kind of felt like, well, what's my part? You know, it can't be just this. I had no clue. And if you have a clue and you think you know, and it's not God, because he's the worker of miracles. And it's going to be outside of your box anyway. So the last play, of course, everything, prices of everything skyrocket. So I usually buy all the costumes because I love it. It's so much fun. And so the last play I did was The Last Supper. And I have 13 men's costumes that I got to buy up there. And I thought, so I looked up Amazon, my favorite. And they were over $60 a costume. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And then I'm like, I just thought, I can sew a stitch. What's a costume? It's just a stitch. So down in our basement, my daughter Amy redid furniture a little bit. So we had some upholstery material. I thought, yeah, this material would be great. I'll start with that. And we have a guy in the church, and he does window coverings. So I was like, John, do you have any extra material you don't want? I said, I'm making costumes. He said, be at my warehouse Wednesday morning. Tell Chris to bring his truck. He filled the back bed of the truck, bolts and bolts of material and fringe, and I can't even tell you everything that happened. And then we had a woman in the church, I'm going to say it, before she got saved years ago, she used to be an exotic dancer, and she used to make all of her costumes, and she's had all this material. She says, Marge, I have to get rid of this. It's been sitting here. She brought me carload after carload after carload of appliques and feathers and buttons and snaps and material. And my basement is packed full because God provides what he calls for. And I was willing. I got some this one. I'm making angel outfits because we have angels. And want to put that picture up? Do you have that picture? And I don't know if you can see it. But here's my Last Supper, and I made every one of those costumes. I made the hats, and I just started doing what I saw. Yeah, you see Mark. Mark was Peter. So Jesus in the middle is my son-in-law, Bill. And then Mark is right next to them. And if you can see it close, I tried to exactly match the picture of the Last Supper. So Chris, you got your phone? Ready? Huh? What am I doing? For the song, you got to hold this.
Hold that or
this? Oh. Well, this.
I guess I'm doing commission.
Huh? Oh, now where'd it go? Well. Can I have your phone? Somebody sing a song. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, there it is. Okay. This is how I started recording, too. My bloody carry. Okay. And that. And you got to go make loud noises so you don't hear the... Make loud noise so you don't hear the advertising. Okay. So here we go. This is James and John. And I rewrote the Beatles. James and John. Our dad made lots of money in the marketplace. He owned a company of fishing boats. Our life was filled with helping him, and that one day the two of us would won. That business was his hope. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. We're the sons of Zebedee. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. Wealth was our identity. But one day this Jesus walked along the shore while we were mending all the fishing nets. He said, follow me, I'll cause you to catch men. We laid aside the money and all our assets. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. We're the sons of Solemi. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. Boy, you should have heard her scream. Like, remember the time when our mom made such a fuss that the couple of seats on his right and left should be for only us. We went to a village in Samaria. They did not believe he was the king. To burn them up with fire was our idea. So Jesus said the sons of thunder was our name. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. Oh, the things that he has done. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. Water turned to Sauvignon. We've seen the dead raised and women healed from women stuff. Ew. He said to us, there's no formula. To believe would be enough. I think we are two of Jesus' closest friends. I've even laid my head upon his chest. If he needed me to pray, I'd pray all night. I'd even take care of his mother if he asked. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. Born as affluential Jews. I am James, I am John, here's our life song. Brothers spreading the good news. Well, now you know us. We are James and John. So I rewrote the Beatles. And I had Blake was here. I don't know if you met Blake. But Blake, let's see, 1, 2, 3, fourth one over in the purple. I said, Blake, I need you to be Judas, because I know that spirit won't come on you if you play it. So I don't know if you can see in front of him is a big thing of butter I put there. And so James on the other side at the very end of the play, he was like, does anybody see the butter? Oh, hey, Judas, could you pass the butter? Judas. And he picked up a bun. Hey, Jude. Boom. And I rewrote Hey, Jude for Judas at the end. Plus, you know, these guys were brilliant. They did a great job. I probably will do it again this Easter. But anyway, you can turn it off. Thank you so much. Back to Genesis 3. But of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden shall not eat, nor shall touch. Then the serpent said to the woman, and then 5, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eye, and desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate it. And she gave it to her husband that ate it with her. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, sewed fig leaves, the whole story. And then the Lord called to Adam in 9, where are you? And he said, so I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And he said, who told you? Who told you? Who told you you weren't good enough? Who told you you weren't fully clothed? Someone else told you because your father didn't tell you. Who told you you weren't good enough and didn't have enough clothing? He didn't say that. He made them perfect in his image. And deception comes from, I am not. When we enter that place of I am not is the place we've been deceived. Because you are everything that he needs you to be. Because he has trained your hand for war already. That's his promise. So there's when you step out into something and you add your amen and you begin to go to war, and then all these things are going to be added to you because he's more than enough in your life to do what he's called you to do. And you might not see it right now. You might even know it's happening. But I'm telling you, his promises are yes. And we add our amen and something different happens. You know what? The apple never questions. The chicken never questions. We're the only one that the enemy lies to that you're not good enough. If you'll only do this, you're going to be like God. If I can only read my Bible more. Not that we shouldn't read our Bible more, but it's not going to make you more like God. I just need to pray more. Yeah, we probably should pray a little bit more, but it's not going to make you any more like God. Something has happened inside of you and deception comes from I am not. And I know that story. Who told you? Colossians 2. Let's just read it. Yeah, you know, you have men singing those songs. So the key for the men is way better. Oh, you never met Dave. So Dave was John, because Bill, my son-in-law, was Jesus. And Dave said, I just want to lay my head on Bill's chest. So they kind of left it up to them to be creative anyway, and Colton was James, so Colton is tall, redhead, curly hair, and in the middle of the song, because I'm watching them sing it, and I know the, you know, and they've just added stuff, I didn't know what they added, well, all of a sudden they get to the part, and they both come down on the side of my son-in-law, who's Jesus, and Colton pulls his phone out and takes a selfie up there, and it was so cute, oh my God, they did such a good job, and there I have a young man, there was a young man also that, his family comes to church. He doesn't really come. He comes in and out. He's young. And I had his younger brother in a couple of the plays. And he said, Miss Margie, I'd like to be in one of your plays. He was 16. Not shy, but, you know, withdrawn. Didn't really come to church a lot. And I was like, absolutely. So I wrote him in as James the Younger. And I said, I need you to be in my play. He said, what do I got to do? I said, you got to sing. He said, no way. I said, wait a minute. I said, listen, you don't have to sing on stage. We record everything. So they're just lip syncing when they're singing up there so they don't have to have nerves. He said, I'll get back to you. And he agreed to do it. Oh, I can't even tell you when you touch someone's life like that to let them be a part. And his song was yesterday. I was just a little kid at play, looking forward to my next birthday. Now here I sit at his buffet. You know, so, and he sang that part about being young, yet being called. And they did such an amazing job. I got his brother up there. I didn't get him up there. You were the only one that wouldn't get up there for me. Next time. So I did, I rewrote The Greatest Showman for Easter. This is the greatest show. And I had testimonies. And so I said, Lord, well, what do people need to know? And he said, they need to know sacrifice. Okay. So I would go through, okay, who sacrifices? I said, well, mom sacrifices for her kids. You know, then I'm like, well, I thought about him and how a minister sacrifices for the church. And then we have a woman in the church who, what is it, her, Melanie's, kidneys. She needed two new kidneys. She was on dialysis. She was a young mom, four kids. She needed two kidneys. So I said, wow. And then someone donated, was a whole story, donated their kidney to Melanie. And I said, what a sacrifice, donating a kidney. And then I had, and the last one, well, there was another, I can't remember. And the last one, I thought, well, I guess if a man gives him life at war, what a sacrifice that is. Well, I didn't know anybody. So I looked it up online, and I found this guy, and his whole story was there. And I thought, well, I guess no one will care if I use this story because there it is. It's already. So I rewrote this whole thing for this guy online, and it was, I can't think of it right now, but, Travis Atkins. So it was, his name was Travis Atkins, and he had given his life at war. And I wrote the whole story around him. And then I didn't realize in the church at the time we had a brand new couple. And he came to me the next week. He said, Marge, do you know what you did? I said, no, I don't know what I did. He said, you don't understand. My wife and I were in the Iraq war, and Travis Atkins was the reason that we made it through. And so, you know, when things are Wi-Fi'd in our life, I can tell you prophetically how things come together and what encouragement that was to me. You can't even imagine that. And he and his family had stayed in the church. He said, you know, it was just one of those things, just a passing by. I'm just flipping through Google trying to find somebody that gave their life at war. You know, I don't know. But let's read Colossians. Start at 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now don't forget the simplicity that I just read about. Don't think about this anything different. As you've received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone should cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of deity bodily. In him dwells all the fullness of deity bodily. In him dwells all the fullness of deity bodily. And you're complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us? Who told you you weren't? Who told you? Who told you you weren't good enough? Having disarmed principalities and powers, disarmed them, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So don't let anybody judge you in food. I don't know anyway. Okay. Who told you? You are as vital in the kingdom of God as anybody that might show up on your television. Anybody that you think, wow, ooh, you are just as vital. Sometimes I think, what has happened to our communion? Okay, it's time to take communion. Well, praise God. But we've turned it into a ceremony instead of our common union. This is our common union. When you take communion next time, you think you're going to hear Jean on Sunday. I've sat and listened to her miracles 10 times. I will listen to them 30 more times, because you will hear what God is able to do. And when you take communion, which is adding your amen to whatever she says with her, whatever she did for you, her, whatever he did for her, he's going to do for you. Whatever he did for her, he can do for us. So, you know, I'm just here to, I said, Chris used to be a part of a, I don't know, over 40 soccer team. I don't know what it was. It was so funny. Bunch of old men on the field. And I, you know, and there was this probably older man. I'm not going to say how much older, because I'm probably that age at this point. But anyway, he would run alongside the field, and when the ball would roll out, he'd kick it back in. That was his job. My job. I found my job. I just run alongside the field, and if any of you start rolling out, I'm just here to kick you back in the game, and that's my goal. I'm the kicker back in. I don't know. It was so cute. So, if deceit comes from I am not, truthfulness comes from I am. And, you know, sometimes it sounds weird, but sometimes we need to start out by being a little weird. We have to start out by being weird. Well, that's weird. Well, tongues is weird, until we start seeing things, prayers answered, until we start having fullness in our life. Well, sometimes we need to wake up and look in the mirror and say, I am. I am the righteousness of God. Don't say in Christ. We know that. Cha-ching, in Christ. No, you are the righteousness of God. You are his mirror image, because the word says. And sometimes we just need to be weird and say it. I am the righteousness of God. I am. We don't get haughty, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need to stand up and look in the mirror and say, you know what, by his stripes I've been healed. And through the pain or whatever it is, sometimes you just need to be weird and say it. You need to say it to someone you know. By his stripes, we've been healed. But we things become spooky spiritual to us, and we don't like it. I was praying. These are all my notes because I changed 16 times of the stuff I was saying. Finally, I went to my room. I'm not looking at one more Bible verse because I'll change it again. So I was praying for you guys. There's a couple things that I saw. I started praying, and I started hearing Shakespeare. To be or not to be, that's the question. So I'm saying someone here, now it was a verse about suicide. Some of you have given up hope. And it could be a suicide of your soul. It doesn't have to be suicide of the natural, although it could be. But I'm here to pray for you tonight for hope. I've also had ringing in my ears, which I can't pray away. So I'm going to hear, if anybody has ringing in their ears, I'm going to pray for you tonight. I also saw teeth. Someone having neck issues. And I saw confusion. As much as he was able to confuse language at Babel, he's able to stop that confusion in your life. So I'm saying, spirit of discouragement, ringing of your ears, having issues with teeth, your neck, and confusion. And then tomorrow, for the women, I would like to welcome you, all you men, to the women's conference. Now, when we have a women's conference at home, he signs up for security because he says, I'm never missing another women's conference again. And he walks around with his security hat on. He doesn't do any security, but anyway, he's over there ministering to everybody. Next time you do communion, don't make it a ceremony. Stand next to somebody. This is our common union. This is our common union together. We're all Wi-Fi'd by the same spirit. You have the same spirit. You have the same spirit as we do down in Binghamton, New York, wherever that is. You are just as vital. And tomorrow I do have another song. Gina will be ministering and I'll be ministering. And I have, anyway, I'll be singing. Oh, well, I'll sing my next song. But let's everybody stand. And I want to pray if you have those issues. Father, I thank you. Mm-hmm.